Let's take your Bibles and turn with me to Luke chapter 2. Begin reading at verse 10. It's found on page 1090, Luke 2. Luke 2, we'll read verses 10 through 12 and then 15 through 20. People of God, hear now the very words of God. The angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." Verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. Now let us also turn to the book of 1 John, chapter 4. Begin reading at verse 7. It's found on page 1304, 1 John 4. First John 4, beginning at verse 7, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and His love is perfected in us." Then let us turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 17. It's found on page 1227. 2 Corinthians 3. We'll read verses 17 and 18. "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." This far reading of God's holy word. Congregation, this time of year, we're nearing the end of the year. We're on the cusp of a new year, new beginnings. And we've already had some snow that's fallen, and there's often, like that snow, a freshness about these times. Now, there aren't complete breaks with the past, but in one sense, a turning of a page to something new. Well, we have that before us this evening as we continue our Advent series tracing the theme of the image of God through the Scriptures. Now, we've seen the image as God created it, then last time as it was broken by Adam. Well, now we come to the image of God as it's being renewed in Christ. Lord willing, next time we'll consider the image of God glorified. But this time is the image being renewed, God's image being renewed, a refreshing beginning. Christ, by His Spirit, renews us as God's image. Christ, by His Spirit, renews us as God's image. And first, we want to consider that we are alive. We're alive. Now, when God moves someone from unbelief to belief, they come alive. Of course, by that we don't mean they start to breathe. That's not the type of alive we mean. We're talking spiritually alive. With Adam's fall, his first sin, we died spiritually, even though Adam kept on breathing after that. We saw that last time. However, for God's elect, at some time in our lives, sometimes we're aware when this happens, the moment, the event, sometimes we aren't. We're not aware of the event. We can't point to an exact time. However, every one of God's elect then can point out that it has happened. Sometime in our lives, the Holy Spirit makes us alive. He regenerates us. He gives us new birth. He causes us to be born again. These all mean the same thing. We go from death to life. The broader context of our text brings up the difference between the ministry of death in the Old Covenant and the ministry of life in the New Covenant. We are given life in Christ. The Apostle Paul writes of the change in what we read from 1 John 4, as well as other places. We now know God. We've been born of God. There in 1 John 4, verse 9, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so we might live through Him. And here even in 2 Corinthians, we're being transformed. There's a change there. Spiritual things matter. Real spiritual things. We're not talking about like the world thinks of spiritual things and spiritism or its religions. We are alive to God. We haven't suddenly gained a soul or a spirit, just as we suddenly hadn't gained a body. There's nothing different in that sense about our being. Maybe it's somewhat like what will happen with our body when Jesus comes again, raised from the dead, from the grave. We are born of God. We're alive. Again, as we read in 2 Corinthians 3 there, we are being transformed into the same image, the image of the living, the resurrected, the life-giving Lord. God is doing a wonderful work within us, to us. He's transforming us. He's moving us from one thing to another. He's moving us, changing us from sin to righteousness. And that's not just for one person or just a few persons, as it was like with Moses in the Old Covenant in terms of the visible glory. But what does he say there? Verse 18, and we all. This is for all of us. It's for every believer. We are all being renewed into His image. We see things now as believers, as one theologian put it, in three dimensions. Before being dead in our trespasses and sins, we thought only in terms of ourselves and others. Two dimensions. That isn't how God made us, but it's where we fell through Adam's sin. But now, being made alive, being transformed into a same image, it's not a two-dimensional image, it's three-dimensional. Because we think in terms of ourselves and others and God. And God. Especially God. Spiritual things now matter. Right and wrong, heaven and hell, God and Satan, true doctrine, false doctrine. At best, an unbeliever might think of right and wrong in terms of how it affects them and others. Again, two dimensions. Does it hurt? Does it help? Being made alive to God, having that life and being transformed into that image. The Christian says first, well, what is that image? Like, what does God say? That's a huge difference. For instance, unbelievers around us approach the issue of homosexual relations often from a human rights perspective, maybe a public health perspective. We as believers, we approach it saying, what does God say? Think back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. Unbelief says, this fruit is pleasing to the eye. It is good for food. And it may even make me wise. But belief says, this new image says that we are being renewed to, says, God said no. What a difference between those two. What God said matters now to you, to me. We're alive to His Word. This is an image we want to be renewed into. Things God has revealed in the Bible, the Bible itself, praying to God. Often in the profession of faith interview, we'll ask about sin and what they think of that. Do you care about going against what God says? Now, we never care as we ought to or care enough about it. And we should give a charitable judgment in these matters, but someone who's being transformed in this image has been made alive. It's not a dead image. Christ is resurrected. It's like those shepherds in that Luke story. Once they heard this wonderful message that was given to them by the angel, what did they do? They moved with haste. They saw the baby lying in the manger. And when they saw, they told others. And they returned to their field glorifying, praising God. They're alive to what God had done and was doing. Even how you and I, how we go about our everyday callings, how we look at the world, there's now, again, that third dimension, that Godward focus aspect. Life is more than what we experience with our senses. It's part of what it means to be renewed in the image of God. That orientation is restored, the image of God. You're His image. Now we look around at our unbelieving neighbors, and hopefully you have neighbors that are kind. Maybe kind to their family, kind to you. In fact, sometimes, maybe, you know, unbelievers who seem kinder than believers. And we're glad our unbelieving neighbors are kind. It makes society run smoother, doesn't it? But your unbelieving neighbor has no good relations with God. This image, in that sense, is lacking. It's not even their little, even at their best, their kindest, outwardly speaking, there's a deadness. There's a complete deadness toward God. God is angry with the unbeliever every day. God's wrath is upon the unbeliever. An unbeliever might say they believe in God, might even go to a church. They might own a Bible. They might say grace at Thanksgiving Day meal. They might even have some sort of celebration in the Christmas season. No doubt you know of some like that. No doubt you know of some that don't even do that. You see, there's no connection, though, to God. No real connection. There's no image that's being renewed there. They're dead spiritually. It's like a marriage. We who have been regenerated, we care. And there's that relating with God. We who have been born again, we stop, we consider. We see the world around us, but we have it in aspect in relation to God. We're alive. We're alive. And we think of a marriage, in a good marriage. Now, you've got busyness, right? But there comes a time where you, maybe at night, maybe on anniversary, other times where you come and you talk and you sit down, you relate. There's that caring. There's life in that relationship. Those are good times. And so for the believer, no matter how long it is since we've been regenerated, God's renewing us in His image. We're alive again. And we take a step back and we think of what we are by nature. We look around at creation. We see what our Heavenly Father made by speaking. We think of our lives and the many blessings God has given. Remember again what we read in 1 John 4. In this, the love of God was made manifest. Remember the gospel that God sent His Son that we might live through Him. In this Christmas season, we sing songs focused on Christ's birth, the bringing of that life. And we may have festivities celebrating His birth. We pause and consider, and we praise the Lord. We're alive in that way. We praise God for His grace. Christ, by His Spirit, is renewing us as God's image. He makes us alive. Be encouraged, brothers and sisters. There's life here. You desire to come to worship. You desire to feast on God's Word. You come to the table. You present your children for baptism. You delight to sing God's praise. You read the Bible. You pray in your homes. Are we perfect? No, far from it. there's life. God is at work. He's renewing his image here. Praise God. There's life. There's something else, something more. That is, as we move into our second point, there's love. There's love. The Apostle Paul there in verse 18 wrote, "And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image." What Jesus is, He changes us to be. The glory Jesus has and displays as we behold it, we're being transformed into that same image. It's clear from this context, the Apostle Paul is not writing about here in this life a visible glory of Jesus. As something else. It's something better. It's explained and applied, especially in what we read from 1 John 4 about love. Now, we mentioned earlier that even our unbelieving neighbors are often kind, right? We're glad for that. So again, sometimes kinder than believers are. But when we come to love, there's something different here. Now, we haven't defined kindness, we haven't defined love, but we do know love is deeper than kindness, isn't it? Kindness might be wanting someone to escape suffering, something nice to happen to them, but love sometimes puts someone through suffering. And children, your parents discipline you, right? It's not nice at the time, but they love you. All discipline seems painful at the time, not pleasant. You're being trained by it. Love aims toward that, toward perfection. It has goodness at its root. Goodness, love rooted to goodness, is tied to God. But in 1 John 4, we read, "Whoever loves has been born of God and knows God." That's part of this image that we're being restored to. Part of beholding the glory of the Lord and being transformed into that same image is one of love. That word love, just in the few verses we read, it's found 13 times in those few verses. 13 times. In this whole epistle, the short epistle, it's found about 50 times. Being alive, being renewed in the image, we love. What is His image? It's love. That's what being human looks like, to love. You hear what love is. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sin. Here is part of that renewal of God's image. God Himself took the initiative. God Himself came down, as again, Luke 2 brings to us, with the angel saying, "Unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." And it was this person, the Lord, Christ, who grew up, offered Himself as the propitiation, a sacrifice to turn away God's wrath. It's a love that gives. It's a love that sacrifices. Now, maybe in this season, maybe people make sacrifices of a sort to give earthly gifts, and that's somewhat nice to see. That at some level, someone is denying themselves to be kind to someone else. Sentimental stories, films written about that. God sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's how God is loved. That's love. That's that image we're being transformed, renewed into. The pattern, the original. It's how we are to love. As John wrote, "Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." That's part of that renewing of the image. We look at who God is, what He has done, what He's like, and by His grace we follow in that. Whoever loves God has been born of God, knows God. The apostle wrote that in verse 7. Then verse 8, "Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love." Again, you can tell when someone is being renewed in the image of God. The hallmark isn't kindness, it's love. Now, one of the fruits of the Spirit is kindness, but the heart of this image is what John brings out, is love. We aren't talking about a feeling here. We're not talking about love like the world thinks of love. Cast that from us. We saw that in our series through 1 Corinthians 13. We aren't talking about earthly presence either. It's not what John means when he talks about love. This is the love of God. 1 John 5, verse 3, if you look a little longer, that we keep his commandments. Our lives be renewed in the image of Christ, bear that stamp of love, that stamp of renewal, as we keep his commandments. That's what it looks like. Children, what did Adam do to break the image of God? He disobeyed the commandment, didn't he? Well, as God renews us in the image of Christ, in his image, we now begin to live according to his commandments. We love God. That's one reason why those who live in open sin are to be disciplined by the church. Because they're revealing by their lifestyle they don't love God. In one sense, it doesn't matter what they say. By their deeds, they deny. They don't love God. They haven't been born of God. There's not this image being renewed. Now, of course, none of us loves God as we ought. None of us keep his commandments as we ought. That's not John's point. Earlier, as he wrote in chapter 2, verse 1, I'm writing these things so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ. He's the propitiation for our sins. His point is, one who is born of God loves God. Not perfectly, but loves God. And that love for God shows up in keeping his commandments. That's part of this renewing. Are you striving to keep his commandments? Are you oriented toward God, relating with him? That's one reason why we read the Ten Commandments every Sunday in the worship service. It makes very plain, clear, what loving God looks like. And it helps us then to say, here is how God is renewing me. Here's the pattern. This is love. It's keeping his commandments. And not just love for God, but love for neighbor. Again, as we read here in 1 John, verse 20, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has not seen, who he has seen, cannot love God whom he has not seen. So we love our neighbor too, our brother. Now with this, as we reflect on ourselves, we need to, this renewal of the image, this love of God and neighbor, we need to think, some people think they're okay because they say, well, I'm not that bad of a person. I love everyone. But then you look at their lives and there's strife in their marriage. The strife with them and other congregants. That person needs to examine themselves. But the other extreme is that someone says, I'm doomed because I don't love as I ought. I'm not perfect in my love. Well, that person too needs, as they repent, to say there's sincere striving to be at peace, to love the brothers. And this first epistle of John was written in part so we would know we have eternal life, that assurance. He's not saying only a select few have assurance. Only a select few are being renewed in the image of God. He's saying, here's what it looks like, though. Loving God, loving neighbor. That's where God's renewing us. And we had a week of self-examination. We didn't fixate on our failures. We didn't just stare at ourselves. But instead, what do? We examine ourselves. We see where, by God's grace, we see where we fall short. We confess that, repent it, and we say, Lord, help me. Help me to love you. Help me to love my neighbor. That's part of the image of God being renewed in us. Loving God, loving others. And as John wrote, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And again, that's what it is to be human. To be human is to love. To be in God's image is to love. What a blessing. God is at work in this fallen world. And we rejoice. And again, the Christmas story, Jesus coming. But he's at work now in our lives, in our time. Not with his son coming down again, but renewing that image. He's at work in your life as you love him and others. Be encouraged in that. You're being renewed in the image of God. And a sure sign of that is love. Love toward God, love toward one another. Christ, by His Spirit, is renewing us as God's image. Again, as the apostle wrote there, we all, beholding the glory of the Lord, and we see who He is, what He's like, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. That love. But there's one other aspect that comes up about the renewing of God's image in us, and that is that we're free. We're free. Now, we read from 2 Corinthians 3, and the couple of verses we read come in the midst of a wonderful teaching of a contrast between the ministry in the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. And what we read here is that the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, verse 17, there is freedom. There's liberty. And we think our world hears that word freedom, liberty, and it thinks of what we would call that to be as license. That liberty is meant freedom to indulge in sin. It's not what God means. It's not the freedom Christ has brought us to by His life, death, and resurrection. The Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit, He doesn't free us to live unholy lives. But in this renewing of the image, to live in true freedom. Believer, you're made alive. You're being renewed in the image of God so you can live as God created you to be. That's freedom. You're no longer shackled by the guilt of your sin. Christ has paid for it. It's not your works that make you right with God. It's Christ's work received through faith. Christ has done it all. Again, the Lord's Supper is a wonderful reminder and an assurance of this, that Christ nourishes us to live that way. You're no longer shackled in the bondage of sin. For what the law could not do, as Paul says in Romans 8, because of sin God has done in His Son, condemning sin in sinful man, so that the righteous requirements of the law would be met in us, fulfilled in us, who walk not in the flesh, but in the Spirit of Christ. Christ has set you free. It's part of this image renewal. He empowers you to live in the freedom of righteousness, not our own righteousness, but Christ's righteousness now imparted to us by the Spirit, now worked within us in the power of Christ's Spirit. Remember that dominion aspect given to Adam and Eve? Back as part of the image, dominion is part of the image of God. It's restored to us. Not perfectly yet, because we still sin, and not perfectly because there's still weeds and thorns out there, but in principle, we're free. We are no longer slaves, but now we're free. Now, last time we saw how the broken image of God resulted in corruption and death, and we still struggle with that. But just think of this freedom in terms of a contrast to corruption, death, out of addictions. Now, addictions are complex, but we're getting at principles here. For one who is joined to Christ, who is having this image of God renewed, we're being transformed into that image, you can counter addictions and the spiritual causes of them because you've been reconciled to God in Jesus. You've been set free. You don't need that alcohol. You don't need that drug. You don't need that pornography. You don't need that feeling of pleasure. You have meaning. You have purpose. You have hope. You have the reality of this image of God that Christ has brought, that you're being renewed into. You have a story, you have a narrative, you have a frame of reference to which to place all your earthly brokenness. That brokenness no longer defines you, it no longer determines you, and even your broken self no longer defines or determines you. You've been joined to Christ. You're being renewed in His image. So we heard again this morning with baptism, the Lord's Supper, we've been washed, changed. You're being transformed into that glory, that image. There's something good. There's something meaningful. There's something lasting. You're not enslaved. And so then don't enslave yourself into these earthly patterns and addictions. Now, we even have that in our week. We have 6 days of labor, but then we have one day of rest, don't we, in worship. We come away. We're not caught in just a cycle, even a goodness of labor and leisure, but we come out to worship together. And that's what it is to be human. Instead of enslaved to our passions, enslaved to other humans' agendas who make us work, their empires, God set us free. What do we read in the Ten Commandments? We read it from Deuteronomy even. Remember, you were slaves in Egypt. And the Lord your God brought you out from there. He set you free. That's part of this renewal of the image of God. Why? To worship Him as a body of believers. Look around. Here is humanity as we were created to be. To worship God together. Our society becomes more inward focused, cuts off community, turns back on faithful churches, on God, shattering or stepping on the shards of the shattered image of God. We've seen loneliness increase, haven't we? We've seen people's sense of meaninglessness increase. We've seen suicides shoot up, fentanyl addictions, overdoses shoot up, haven't we? Well, in one sense, none of that surprises us. In some respects, life's getting much better. And yet, so many are losing hope. They turn their back on God, the image of God, the true images of God. As we saw last time, Romans 1, they suppress that knowledge, they pursue sin, and it leads only to deeper sin, death. But God renews. He transforms. He reconciles us to Himself. And that image He is restoring in Christ. He joins us to Him and to His body. And there's that love. From God to us, from others to us, from us to others. We're restored. We're being restored. That's freedom. The sin that pulled at us so much more, it still tempts, but it's lost its power. And that's not just some 12-step recovery system. It's a reality Christ has accomplished that His Spirit brings to us. We all are being transformed into the same image. Do you know that? Do you know what it is to be alive? What it is to love? What it is to be free? The world, the flesh, the devil, they try to pass off some idea of Christianity that it's the opposite of all those. Oh, they're so dead. They're not loving. They hate. Oh, they're bound to follow all these laws. There's no freedom. But doesn't the world say the exact opposite? But don't be deceived. Here is blessedness. Here is joy and peace. And it's all found in Jesus, the Son of God, who was sent to earth to rescue us by His death and resurrection. And we are to trust Him. We heard in Luke 2 a good news of great joy. The Savior has been born. Worship Him. Be blessed by Him. For those whom God has made alive in Christ, who are being renewed in God's image in Christ, don't forget. Don't forget what we are by nature. Don't be obsessed with it, but don't forget it. Don't forget where God's brought you. And don't forget where He's bringing you. This image He's renewing you into. You're alive. You love. You're free. Remember and believe and thank Him and praise Him. And like those shepherds, tell others. Christ, by His Spirit, renews us. May God receive all the praise. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You know by nature we are broken images. Guilty, shattered, enslaved, turned in on the self, dead. But You give us life. You have us love You and others. You set us free. Thank You, Lord. Now please continue to renew us in Your image. We need that. We desire it. We still have the world, the flesh, and the devil pulling against us. But you are greater. And so help us, O Lord, to say no to those. Renew in us that image every day, more and more, till after this life we reach perfection. We long for that time. But be with us in the struggle now. Renew us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.